This is Fuller Speed Ahead. I appreciate that Craig Fuller is giving me the opportunity to be the transportation technology nerd that I am and be able to really dig into one of the industry-leading technology companies that's providing some pretty significant value to their customer base. So I'm really thrilled today to be joined on Fuller Speed Ahead by Tom Fogarty, who's the CEO at Best Pass. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Oh, George, thanks for having me. Delighted to be here.
So we're going to talk a lot about Best Pass and your leadership, but let's give everybody a quick summary about Best Pass. You joined as CEO, I think, back in 2020. So mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Tom Fogarty, and then we'll get into Best Pass.
Yeah, sure. So I did join just about 9 months ago, and was really looking for a few different things as I pondered, my next position, next venture. My last firm I was with for about 11 years, we were in the business, another financial technology company of preventing financial crimes. And after growing the business fast and successfully, we were able to combine with the division of Moody's and really produce killer products and a killer team that I wouldn't want to keep with anymore. So when I was asked what I want to do next, well, I wanted to find a situation where I could kind of roll the clock back 5 or 6 years, not the whole 11, because the first couple of years of generating a few million bucks were an awful lot of work. But roll it back 5 or 6 years to a business that was a really good business with a chance to be a great business, a business that was growing nicely, a business that had deep customer relationships and incredible retention rates, because that's the first thing I looked at was if you got a product with a really good solution, then customers are happy with you and they never leave. And that generally means there's a pretty good team behind it. And I looked under the covers, found that, and it just had a little bit of growing up to do in terms of, how do you get from 30 million to 75, 100 million? What types of processes do you have to put in place? How do you keep that innovation engine going? And those were the challenges I was looking to do because I felt, there was a been there, done that element for me. And I found a perfect match with Best Pass.
That's really terrific. So I'm sure most of the viewers know about Best Pass and, the comprehensive payment platform and toll management. And, I'm sure, and we can talk about the commercial fleets and the sizes and types where your targets, which I think is a really big target. So It's a fascinating opportunity to take a company from good to great, and as you joined and you rolled that clock back those 4 or 5 years or so, did you target anything specifically initially? And how long did it take you when you got there to figure out what to target, or how did you take that first step from good to great?
Well, I think the biggest thing was taking a step back and taking a more planful approach. It was a business that had really grown nicely, grown very quickly, and sometimes maybe grew a little bit too fast and hadn't really put that kind of spots of maturation to make sure that every customer phone call was picked up with enthusiasm right away and all those kinds of things that mean you got to take a step back from the pressures of the day-to-day and the growth. To say, how do we do things right? How do we build a business that we can really scale up and make it seamless for our partners, for the tolling authorities, and for our customers? And so, in prioritizing where to plan, it was really about figuring out how to inspire further innovation to take us to where we wanted to be. Innovation every day is kind of a theme of what we talk about in the business. And whether you're in accounting, customer service, technology, I want folks to be challenging the status quo and finding better ways to do things, because that's where we'll find the nuggets that keep making it easier and easier to build a great business around. First major initiative was really creating a product-led focus on what our customer needs were. So a very disciplined approach to the different areas that we could expand our footprint and expand the solution, and then prioritizing that out, understanding where we needed to go and putting the funding behind it. It's been an exciting chapter for Best Pass. When I started, we were at 90 employees. We're just crossing over 115 now, so more than a 25% growth over that time period. And that came building a product team, tripling the capacity on the development side, and expanding key functions within the business along the way as well.
So were there any particular processes or techniques, literally any books that you've utilized and, you know, to spread across the organization to, you know, try to get everybody rowing in the same direction?
Yeah, there's a really good book about empowering teams and getting everybody to think out of the box and start to take ownership and responsibility by a former Navy captain called It's Your Ship, where he took the ship from the worst performer in the Pacific Fleet to the best, at least by his telling. But it's a wonderful story about accountability, about inspiring your teammates, giving them the ability to impact change in a way that they hadn't even thought was possible before. So if you're in customer service, you know more about customer service at Best Pass than by all means I do, and anyone else in the business. And you should use that knowledge to figure out what is the best path forward, as opposed to just doing your job every day.
How have you incorporated in that the customer voice? Is that in a direct manner? Because you've got them of all sizes and types. Is there a way that you've been able to sort of distill that down into things that you can make actionable, or is that to some degree a work in progress?
It's definitely a work in progress, and it's the most important thing that we've got to get right. So we have the luxury, and I have the luxury of working with a great business partner in John Andrews, who really took the business forward, you know, under the Trucking Association of New York, and built out a solution that's already beyond par in the industry. But the fact that we're built by truckers for truckers and really facilitating the quicker, faster, easier payment systems for them is great. But you can never rest on the fact that you understand the industry and think that all that knowledge can be internal. We've got to talk to our customers, and we've also got to talk to our key partners. So, you know, the tolling authorities and their challenges and the value that we provide to them in delivering great customer service and simplifying the billing arrangements and the interaction between truck fleets and our partners. They've got an awful lot to say in terms of where the industry is heading, where the solutions need to head, and how we can be better partners for them. And then similarly, of course, customer needs are all about what drives business value. And the better we figure that out, the closer we get to them, the better off we are. So that's part of that product transformation, product-led transformation, is getting that relatively new product team out in front and in the right conversations with the customers, along with our domain experts who have always been with the business, making sure that that information is fresh and evolving and innovating all the time.
So I've got to imagine, I mean, you guys are working down to the pennies for fleets of all sizes and types. Accuracy, the data accuracy has to just be so critically important. How are you investing there as your growth is going so significantly? You know, we can't suddenly allow accuracy to go away. How are you investing in the business to maintain that incredible level of accuracy that you have to have, but at the same time be able to process X amount more transactions every minute?
Right. I would say that you know, as we've more than doubled our development capacity, I really look at it in two ways. Half of it is on pure innovation. Where can we extend the product? Where can we provide greater value to our customers and partners? The other half is about, as we scale, making sure that integrity is there, because that's poker stakes, and, you know, ante stakes in this business. You've got to have it. We're a fintech business, which means we've got to have the same accuracy in moving money around that a bank would have. So that requires constant updates, constant upgrades, working with our providers. There's a lot of back office changes that are going in the toll network, and staying on top of that and building a system that's nimble enough to move as they move. And, you know, we've got nearly 50 tolling authorities that we work with today, and keeping an eye on all those changes and making sure that we are nimble, accurate, and quick is what it's all about.
That 50 was kind of where I was going to go. So, Is that 50 optimal? Do you keep adding, or are there locales, geographies that are not being serviced? What's that look like?
Yeah, so we've got 99% coverage of all of the tolling in the U.S. We've got coverage of some of the tolling cross-border into Canada and are expanding into Mexico. Key strategic initiatives have to do with expanding that network in both those countries to provide coverage as well. So we are looking at, we've got an active development plan. We just went live with Tuscaloosa Bypass that you may have seen in our press releases, and we also did the rest of the American roads networks are coming on this month. So, you know, we're constantly expanding that network. That's really key, and that is a key value that we offer to our customers. That coverage, the ability to go with a single transponder and go coast to coast, provider to provider, and make sure that the billing is accurate is really key. So we do have an active provider expansion campaign going on there. And one of the things that you mentioned in terms of comprehensive payments platform, you know, we have our eyes on providing value beyond toll, right? We do some of that today in violation management, citations, and things like that. But, you know, if it's on wheels and it needs to make payments, ultimately we want to be able to support that. So, you know, in today's world, it's really tolling into road usage charges, mileage-based charges, expanding into ferries, truck washes, fast food, and fuel stations, things like that. So we're actively expanding that, which will, you know, exponentially expand what I look at as the provider network and the value that we offer to our customers. But, you know, immediately we need to make sure that if there's a major new tolling facility out there, that Best Pass is viewed as a critical partner for them to get wired in right off the bat.
As one who lived in North Texas for 12 years, the expansion of the tolling capabilities was remarkable. I lived within, maybe a mile or so from the Sam Rayburn Tollway, that the day that it was opened in North Texas there, it was obsolete because there was so much growth and it was being expanded. So I got to imagine that the amount of tolling that's being constructed right now is continuing to increase. It's not just what I see when I'm out there, but that's got to be what you guys are experiencing.
Yeah, and I think North Texas, you know, really has it right because you've got a population that realizes the challenges, willing to enable additional tolling facilities to fund the infrastructure improvements that's needed. And if you compare that direct result on, yes, obsolete, and there's still traffic, but you compare the traffic around there to the traffic in Atlanta, which has had tolling on the out a few times and keeps shooting it down. You've got, you know, just a nightmare scenario there. So for sure, infrastructure needs to improve. It needs to be funded, and tolling and public-private partnerships are key elements in making that happen.
That's a fascinating thing you talk about, because, and I'm sure you're the same way, as much as we've traveled, it was intriguing. Was watching something the other day, and they were talking about the traffic in the Los Angeles area, and the person who was presenting was like, I don't know why I keep saying that, because no matter where you live, you have traffic. And I will say, being outside of Chattanooga, I live with less traffic than I did when I was commuting in Boston or commuting in Philadelphia or commuting in Dallas. But, you know, we still have our traffic. As you described the Atlanta versus Dallas, do you see, and are there studies that have shown that where tolling has been put in place, you have more of the Dallas experience, which is, when I moved to Dallas, it took me 40, 45 minutes to get to DFW from my house in Frisco. Sam Rayburn Tollway came in, it turned it into a 22-minute run. And that was me driving at the normal speed limit.
And yeah, there are some great studies. I don't have any off the top of my head.
That's fascinating, isn't it, though, to say that, you know, because I don't mean to disrespect any of my friends in Atlanta, but I'm sure that they would agree with me. That is a disaster down there with regards to the way that the traffic is managed.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And, you know, I think our good partners over at TransCore would probably be able to email you 20 different studies that verify that right off the top of their head. But for sure, it's a factor. It is the way of the future. And it's one of the reasons why I saw this business that can go from good to great has very favorable market tailwinds behind it, because, you know, our partners on, you know, in the truck fleets and the amazing job they did in pivoting when the world shut down just about a year ago, and then, you know, rerouted supply chains, kept it all going and making it all happen so that we could continue to have, you know, fairly decent economy through it, despite the pains and the pressures. And keeping people with critical supplies. And even now with the challenges of distributing the vaccine, you know, they're taking a lead. And I'm just, you know, both thrilled by the reaction and follow through by our truck fleet partners, but also the role that we've had in making sure that we enable it and simplify that whole equation.
So let me spin a little bit in my data nerd way, but you've got so much information within the organization that you're having to keep accurately and all. Is there things that you provide back? Obviously, there's going to be reporting that you provide back to your customers. But are you able to show them best practices, show things that they may or may not be doing that others aren't through all of the investments that you made in the technology?
In many cases, but I would go back to your work in progress question before, because we do have a lot that is on the roadmap in terms of really teasing out value from our data assets. You know, and some of it's quite simple, right? When New Jersey Turnpike has a very large increase in toll rates implemented in, I think it was September of 2020, as soon as that was announced that it was going to take place, we should have been able to turn to our customers and let our big customers know, you just added a million, you need to add $1 million to your budget for next year if you do nothing, right? And those types of things. I think there's a lot of value in that insight, and ultimately being able to say, and if you do things differently, here's some ideas and here's some intelligent choices that you can make based on the data and your routing.
Interesting. So as we've talked about the company, as I said, people I think know a lot about it. Let me, you know, give the sort of very wide berth though about your customers. You describe the, I think it's more than 10,000, but what is the boundary of how little a fleet am I, how big a fleet am I that makes up what Best Pass has in your portfolio?
Yeah, we're really the only company that does span the gamut. So from large fleets, we've got close to 70 of the top 100. Over-the-road truck fleets in the U.S. We've now crossed over 12,000, getting close to 13,000 customers, and that includes thousands of owner-operators. And you know, of all classes of truck vehicles. So we're out there. We're providing that simplicity, really, to all levels of organizations, getting them better discounts, less violations. Instant registrations, you know, those types of things where we're really providing value. We've got over 675,000, getting close to 700,000 transponders tracking on behalf of a total of roughly 2 million vehicles enrolled and, you know, processing over $1 billion in toll. I know you saw that in a press release as well. And so, you know, we're doing very well, but there's more to go and more to expand in terms of meeting the needs of our key core constituencies. And then we've got to think about what we're doing internationally as well.
Right, right. So as you are building this business and you know, hearing the human capital and investment that you've made to grow the staff to where it is, let's talk a little bit about that in the day of the pandemic, you know, based in Albany. you're remote, I'm remote from our office and the workings of that. Sort of two-pronged question, how has the company dealt with the pandemic and some amount of your team working remotely? And then a sort of follow-up on, how are you recruiting, you know, now the kinds of people that you're looking for and talking about doubling the size of certain parts of the company? So first one, how's the pandemic treated you with regards to remote and working on site?
Yeah, well, first from a personal level, you know, it's the probably the only job I've taken without meeting my team face-to-face before getting into the role. So Zoom has performed a valuable function. I was fortunate that we did shut down the office with the exception of our logistics and fulfillment team, because we've got to get equipment out to our customers at all times. But even there, we had to behave differently. So we had them still coming into the office, splitting shifts, a lot of social distancing in the office, and a lot of antiseptic used. Starting in July, right after the July 4th weekend, we opened the office for general availability, but not a requirement to come in. And we recommended that folks come in as needed for teamwork and collaboration, but for the most part, still work from home on a day-to-day basis. And then unfortunately, in late October, we needed to, other than that fulfillment team of superstars that we have, heroes for us, we needed to kind of shut down again, except for exceptions when folks needed to be in the office. So we're looking forward to numbers in Albany are really coming down nicely. Obviously, the vaccines are getting out there, starting to be distributed to our workforce. And we hope that over the next few months, we can actually get things planned out. We did actually have enough confidence, and I'll knock on a little bit of wood here, that we announced the date for the company picnic, the location of the company picnic for August. So unfortunately, we didn't have one last year, but we've got that on the calendar now. And we're all pretty optimistic that we're going to be able to pull that off.
Well, you know, as you talk about that, it makes me think, and I'm not trying to do a commercial here, but you know, we do events and we've done great in doing this kind of thing to keep the, you know, information flowing. But there's something about personal interaction you can't replace. And we're going to do our, you know, next in-person event. It'll be in November. So a little bit after August. But I'm sure that your folks, the Best Path folks thinking about being together at the picnic, is a real out in the future. Can't wait. I'm so glad I got that there, because our, you know, the Future Freight Festival that we're going to do in November here in Chattanooga has had unbelievable already traction. And a lot of that comes from people are just ready to get back to be together again. More than I really thought we were going to see. And I'm sure that you're feeling that from your team as well.
Yeah, a lot of enthusiasm, actually. And it has been interesting. You asked what we did to kind of drive culture, drive engagement over the period. And we've had to work probably a lot harder than envisioned in an in-person environment to keep things fun, to make sure that we're having impact on the community. You know, we have done some in-person things like Nicole, who you've met from our marketing team, led a team that was planting new gardens in downtown Albany. We've visited the food banks. We've served meals. The Best Past Giving effort has really had a lot of accomplishments over this period, despite limited opportunities for interaction. So we've done some of those things, and we've done an awful lot of everything from Zoom games to virtual happy hours and all those kinds of things to kind of keep the morale up and keep people building that team and teamwork together moving forward.
That has to serve you really well in recruiting if you're growing 20-25% and looking to recruit, I would assume, in a variety of different areas and types of folks. That kind of culture, the kind of culture that you're building going from good to great, must be serving Best Pass really well.
Yeah, I think it is. And when I said we had to work hard at some of these things, they're all things that will benefit us as we look to the office of the future. And, you know, everyone's evaluating what that means now. We're doing the same thing. If we were to talk next week, I could tell you the results of a survey we just put out that said, you know, how you know, what's best for you? What are the shortfalls of working remotely? How much collaboration do we need to inspire in person versus a Zoom face-to-face and those kinds of things? And they're all hard questions that we're getting our arms around. But I think the net is probably anyone in a technology area is going to be going to some kind of different world moving forward. I don't think we'll be fully remote. I don't think we'll be mandatory to be in the office 5 days a week. I think it's going to be some kind of hybrid approach. And we're going to do a lot of research and figure it out together. I think there was a great quote last week from the CEO of Goldman that said, you know, I got to get people back in because that's for our culture of collaboration, innovation, and internship. We've got to have that togetherness. And I think that's the right answer, but it's not a 5 day a week. We've proven we can be productive while we're collaborating on a remote basis. And it's a recruiting advantage for us as we move forward. So we've hired, as we've staffed up, you know, we've hired folks in the New York Metro. We've hired some teammates I used to work with in the Philadelphia market. We've got our salespeople, you know, all across the country. And frankly, I think the changes that we've put in place to support the vast majority of folks in a remote basis has really benefited the sales team in getting them included in a lot more and a lot more of the camaraderie that most used to be just kind of based in Albany.
Yeah, it's so interesting. We've done, you know, surveys ourselves to understand what our Chattanooga is, where we had the, you know, the large concentration of folks. What were their desires going forward? Go back full time, go back, you know, in that hybrid model, never go back. And we're just compiling that now. And I think we'll get some interesting things. And I'll say, I filled it out myself, and I'm okay saying I don't want to go back 5 days a week. You know, I'm so incredibly capable of doing more work, better work, and having that productivity. And we've really found that to be something that most of our areas, you would might think, well, the data scientists, they'll be fine, you know, working on their own. The salespeople, they're all going to need to, you know, be together. We do group things now, socially distance, outside, things like Topgolf. But the data scientists like getting together too. They're, you know, they're desiring to collaborate and do. So I think you're right. It's really going to be a fascinating thing to watch and see how that ends up playing itself out. But I got to ask you, you've done Zoom with your team and the like. When will you be able to do Albany more frequently or as a matter of rote?
Yeah, I've got a couple of key hires that I'm working on right now, which despite the fact that I got hired without meeting some critical folks, you know, one of these in particular is one that I really feel we need to make sure we've got the right fit and the right spirit of collaboration, and that will require face-to-face. So for sure, the week after next, I'll be back in the office, and then I'm looking forward to getting back. But to make the call on when, because I do think for most people, the hybrid model makes sense. It has been a little bit one arm behind the back in times in terms of really being able to get to know everybody and inspire culture of moving from good to great. You know, CEO, it's no secret probably that they do very little real work. They rely on their team and collaboration and learning. And, you know, a lot of that takes a lot of meetings, but also a lot of camaraderie. And it's just not the same in a Zoom world as it is elsewhere. So I would guess it'll be regular office presence again for me, you know, starting sometime in the next 5-6 weeks, depending on the overall numbers in terms of what COVID's doing, as well as how well saturated are we in terms of vaccinations and those sorts of things.
Makes total sense. So we've only got a couple more minutes, and I'm going to dig a little deep now and really try to get inside of, we like to here on the Fuller Speed Ahead, you know, really get to, you know, get some really genuine stuff, some little nuggets of gold out of the folks that we talk to. You're talking to me from suburban Philadelphia right now. You went to the Wharton School of Business. Please don't tell me I'm talking to an Eagles fan. I mean,
I'm an Eagle Scout, and I grew up in Chicago, though. But you know, having three kids that are all college age, I know far more about this Philadelphia sports teams because I'm besieged by the kids, you know, watching it and celebrating and everything else. So I do have to admit, you know, now in Albany, I've become a Buffalo Bills fan. I am definitely loyal to my Chicago Bears, and I do root for the Eagles because I find when my team's happy, it's a lot more fun to be around. So
could not agree with you more. And as someone who was in New England and my kids were born up there, my quarterback situation in New England, I'm feeling pretty good about. I'm not so sure about Andy Dalton, but, you know, good luck for the Bears. I've got, you know, great relatives and friends in the Philadelphia area that are Eagles fans and love to go back. So let me just dig in a little bit more and then we can call this. But what do you like the most about what you do? What's the part that, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you really can't wait to go do this with? You talk about collaboration and leadership and going from good to great. What gets Tom Fogarty's blood just really running so that he can do what he can do with Best Pass?
Yeah, it's really the innovation thing. I mean, my whole career, I felt like don't pay attention to compensation or anything else. It's pay attention to having the right environment to learn and to innovate, right? And when I mentioned what going back to, you know, 5 or 6 years, like I was at my old business, you know, there's a been there, done that element, but implementing that in a new way, in a new environment, in a new industry, you know, that's exciting. That's really exciting. And I love the chance to learn new things every day, to probe at things and find out if we can do things a little bit better, and to inspire the team to do a lot of that too. So it's all about learning. That's what keeps it exciting. And then turning that learning into winning.
Oh, that's great stuff. I really appreciate it, Tom. This has been great. I wish we had more time, but the clock's starting to strike on us here. Thanks for doing the Fuller Speed Ahead. Thank you to your team at Best Pass for helping to put this together. And I look forward. One of the things I like to also do in the Fuller Speed Ahead, we get some return guests so that we can talk about the progress that's been made. You teed that up in going from good to great. I'd love to see over a couple months from now or so, have another chat and see where the progress has been made and see how Best Pass is continuing to evolve under your leadership. Thanks for doing this.
Fantastic. I really enjoyed it. And thanks for having me.